He will become king of the heavenly planets during the period of the Manu known as Sarvani. This is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if the Lord takes away a devotee's material opulences, the Lord immediately offers him a position of which the demigods cannot even dream. There are many examples of this in the history of devotional service. One of them is the opulence of Sudama Vipra. Sudama Vipra suffered severe material scarcity, but he was not disturbed and did not deviate from devotional service. Thus, he was ultimately given an exalted position by the mercy of the Lord. Here, the word mud ashraya is very significant. Because the Lord wanted to give Bali Maharaj the exalted position of Indra, the demigods might naturally have been envious of him and might have fought to disturb his position. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead assured Bali Maharaj that he would always remain under the Lord's protection, mud ashraya. Om jnana tamadandasya jananjana shalakaya chaksun militam minatasmai svi guruve namaha ukam karoti vachalam pangumlam jayate girim yakripa tamaham bande svi gurum dinatarina vancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhu vahivacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasidhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. My knowledge is meager, my realization is nil, my devotion is insignificant. These make me unqualified to speak, but one thing I know and have faith in the association of the Vaishnavas, the sadhus, the bhaktas. By their association, all other things will come to be. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the sixth canto, third chapter, Yamaraj instructs his messengers who have just been to capture the soul of Ajamil, unsuccessfully, we might add. Instructions about who are the 12 Mahajans, these 12 great personalities that teach and give the standard of devotional service. Well, as we all know, Bali Maharaj is one of those Mahajans. He's become very famous for his surrender. And I like to think, I feel, that this particular chapter is the chapter. Of course, we're coming to the close of this chapter. It's almost finished, wrapping up this pastime. But it's the chapter that gained Bali Maharaj the status of being a Mahajan. The title of the chapter duly notes that Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. So this process of surrendering is what has gained him his great fame. Of course, many of us, the idea of surrender is a little difficult. In Bali Maharaj's case here, you know, to surrender to one's enemy, especially when they've got the best of you, when they've got the upper hand on you, it isn't really in and of itself such a noble thing. I mean, you don't really have a choice. You've been bested, you know, whether it be on the battlefield or in the debate or whatever. But to then take that to the next level and fully give one's mind, body and self, that is surrender. And that's the real surrender that Bali Maharaj is noted for here. That he has been bested by Sri Vamanadeva. This chapter, there's a couple of verses that I particularly liked here, previous verses. One of them was 27 and one of them was 26. Verse 27, to recap, although aristocratic birth and other such opulences are impediments to advancement in devotional service, because they are the causes of false ego and pride, these opulences never disturb a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we see here The Pali Maharaj certainly had these things, aristocratic birth. I was looking the other day at the family tree of Prahlad Maharaj. If we look at as it's all laid out there, it's quite significant. But none of these, which for ordinary people are the source of their false prestige, their pride, their egotism, were able to disturb the mood of surrender of a genuine devotee of the Lord. And this we find in the life of Pali Maharaj. And then the verse just prior to that, verse 26, if a human being is born in an aristocratic family or a higher status of life, if he performs wonderful activities, if he is youthful, if he has a personal, if he has personal beauty, a good education and good wealth, and if he is nonetheless not proud of his opulences, it is to be understood that he is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, I read that verse, and in all honesty, I thought of us in the process of devotional service. I mean, certainly we, Prabhupada said it many times, you young people were, well, of course, not so young anymore, but we're always young in relationship to Srila Prabhupada. We were ever young in his eyes. But at any rate, born in an aristocratic family, higher status of life, youthful, attractive, good education, good wealth. So how can we say that we were not proud of any of that? These are all the qualities that, as we read in the verse 27, they promote false prestige and false pride and egotism. Because we very clearly gave all those things up to take to the process of devotional service. Our prestige, our wealth, you know, now later in our lives, some of us may have reestablished ourselves in a means to carry on with our obligations and responsibilities in family or society. But we initially gave all these things up to take up the path of devotional service. And to surrender these things, which to every materially minded person, this is what they desire in their life. If you ask the average person on the street what is their goal in life, it's to become very wealthy. There's that wonderful story when Srila Prabhupada was at Dai Nippon in Japan, when he was arranging for the publishing of his books, and all the executives were there in the room. Very traditional Japanese setting of welcoming the client, the guest, person, and all of the different heads of the department and the companies, they all came, and they all gave their cards to Srila Prabhupada, and all the cards were stacked up. And the junior most man, his card was there on the bottom. So it was a younger man, that's junior and younger, both in his position in the company and in his age. And as the other senior men left, he stayed a bit behind. There was some conversation with Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said to him, so what is your goal? And he reached down and he took his card off the bottom of the stack, put it on the top of the stack, like that. So this is the goal of every materialistic person in this world, to become very successful, very wealthy, to have a prominent position, to have a glorious birth, to be considered aristocratic, right? So to give these things up shows some form of detachment. And detachment for what? For the purpose of pursuing devotional service. This pursuit of devotional service is actually seen by the devotee to be more valuable. And not only just by us individually as endeavoring, aspiring, struggling devotees is it seen, but all the Shastras, all the Mahajans, all the great Acharyas, they proclaim this, that this process of devotional service is the real reward, the real benefit. And when we execute that detachment from these things, then we're rewarded greatly. Now, we see here, Pali Maharaj, his surrender, I mean, everything had been taken away. Everything had been completely removed from him. So then to take that extra step and surrender his entire body, mind, and self, to give everything to the Lord was very satisfied by that. And then the Lord turned right around and gave it all back to him. What's the word in the, back to here, dushprapam, extremely difficult to obtain. Even the demigods think, wow, how did he get that? Because of his surrender, the Lord reciprocated. The Lord only wants that we're happy. This is ultimately the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we, his eternal parts and parcels, are happy. Trouble starts when we start to think our happiness can come from being separate from the Lord. This is when all the difficulty begins. You know, everybody tries to, if there's a problem, not only do you want to solve the problem, but you want to track how the problem began, go back to where it originated from so it doesn't happen again. I see this a lot in my work. You know, if there's a difficulty with an order, or if a customer is not satisfied, or if something's defective, then you not only resolve the issue, but then you want to trace back, okay, well, how did this happen, so that we can put a system in place so that it won't happen again. So how did it happen that we're not happy? Because we started to think that our happiness comes separate from the personality of Godhead. But when we see that our happiness is in connection with him, then the Lord blesses us. And not only does he bless us, but he wants us to have even more than we imagined. Srila Prabhupada starts off this purport by indicating very clearly that this is the mercy of the Lord. So how do we understand that? First, the Lord takes everything away, but then his mercy is that he gives it to us. Because he will award that to his devotee that he sees will properly use that facility. He will give facility to us when we show that we can properly engage it in his service. When we have the correct mentality, when we have the proper state of mind to not be attached, to not develop egotism and false prestige and false pride. When we free ourselves and listen, all right, now you can have it like that. I mean, here we see the Lord, Sri Vamanadeva, the most beautiful incarnation of the Lord. He's taken all of this away without even a fight. Now, this is the amazing thing. Just by walking, two steps, everything was taken. Now, Bali Maharaj is a great king. This means he's also a great warrior. This means that he has great prowess in the battlefield, that he has conquered so much, that he has so many people under his leadership. You don't get that just by being a wuss. You have to have some potency. So he's ready to go to battle. But here comes this little Brahmin boy, and with two steps takes everything, completely conquers him. How is this? Such a great warrior, and by two steps, he's completely taken everything away from me. So Bali Maharaj is completely taken aback by this. A great king can accept defeat on the battlefield. Okay, I went out, I fought my best, I took all my armies, we did, but I was defeated, all right. But a little Brahmin boy, two steps of land, he defeats me. Well, Bali was taken back by this. This is how easily the Lord conquers his devotee. So, Bali Maharaj, you know, well, all right then, if it's that easy for you to defeat me, then I will fully surrender myself. This shows the intelligence of Bali Maharaj. Is it then? They never disturb a pure devotee's service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bali Maharaj was conquered in this way, and realizing the Lord, his own guru, Sukhacharya, said, no, this is Vishnu, you're gonna lose here. All right, so if it's Vishnu, he's going to take everything, let it happen. And when it does, he goes even further and surrenders even more. Okay, you've taken all my kingdom, you've taken all my armies, you've taken all my wealth, you've taken all my position. All right, now here, take me. And this is the real mood of surrender that we should hope to try and develop in our process of devotional service. It's not such a big thing that we're beaten down, that the material energy takes everything from us. This is happening everywhere, every day. We have no, I always used to tell my kids, you know, when the material energy wants to make its presence, you don't stand a chance. But when we take shelter of the spiritual energy, then that's when we get a little boost. And so Bali Maharaj does that. He says, all right, you've taken everything. Now let me just completely surrender to you. And then what does the Lord do? He gives him everything back. The Lord actually does what so many people hanker for. He takes his foot and puts it on Bali Maharaj's head. This is always a sign of good things to come. The Lord puts his foot on your head. These are good things to come. Now, even the four Kumaras, just by smelling the fragrance of Tulsi mixed with the sandalwood paste, mixed with the natural fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet, they became completely purified and completely dedicated to the service of the Lord. So whenever the Lord does this, Lord Nityananda placed his lotus feet upon the head of Raghunath Das Goswami. And what happened there? Well, aside from the fact one really wonderful festival ensued, there was all kinds of good fortune to Raghunath after that. And he became fixed in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So this is a very wonderful example. Actually, a little more updated example I'm going to give here. A couple of people in the room will appreciate this, Div being one of them. In the old St. Louis Temple, we were a band of brahmacharis, you know, dedicated to trying to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. We were known famously or infamously throughout ISKCON. You take your pick which side of the fence you're on. But we were known very much for that. And in the kitchen, one devotee had carved these two little plaster of Paris lotus feet all the way up to the ankles with toes and everything, and had decorated on the bottom, you know, little chakra and lotus and conch shell and like that. And there was a metal rod coming out of them, and they hung from another metal rod so that they swung back and forth like that. So we had them hanging from the middle of the kitchen. Whenever things would just get too intense, either in the kitchen or just a devotee would go in and put their head up and, oh. So in our own weird neophyte way, we understood that if I can just get the Lord's lotus feet on my head, if I could just take that shelter, everything will be okay. So this is the way it is that we see these great devotees. They want to take that shelter. They want the Lord's lotus feet on their head. And Bali Maharaj gets that, and it's his gift. Now, also the Lord gives him, you know, complete dominance over the entire heavenly kingdoms beyond what the demigods could even imagine. Dhruva Maharaj, same thing. Dhruva Maharaj wanted all of this, and he got the darshan lotus. He realized, oh, this is enough. Bali Maharaj was perfectly satisfied. The Lord put his head on, completely surrendered. Okay, and you take this too. Dhruva Maharaj, the same thing. Okay, you got my, not you take this too. So the Lord is always giving when we surrender to him. Now sometimes we might say, well, you know, I'm not getting anything. Well, are we really surrendering? Okay, I've externally done all the stuff, right? But what about our heart? What's the condition of our heart? This is what the Lord's looking at to determine his reciprocation with us. Now, Prabhupada gives the example here in this verse of Sudama Vipra. And we all know this wonderful story of Sudama Vipra. He and Krishna were childhood mates together in the Gurukula, and they made a bond of friendship as you do when you're in school and make a bond of friendship with your buddies, and we're going to be together through life, and yeah, what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours, and jai and like that, you know. And then life takes its course and you go your separate ways, and maybe you don't ever see that person again, you know. So Sudama Vipra, he took his path, and it was a very, very, suffered severe material scarcity. And many of us feel, boy, I'm in a tough spot, you know, it's real hard right now. And the country touts this whole economic difficulty and all. You want to know economic difficulty? Let's look at Sudama Vipra. Suffered severe material scarcity. Practically had nothing. So his wife, very good, devoted, chaste, Vaishnava wife, but she said, you know, I mean, Krishna's your friend. He's like the Lord of Dwarka. Go get a little something. No, I couldn't do that. No. So at the wife's encouragement, all right, I'll go. What's he going to take? Well, we got nothing. No, I can't take him this old broken pot. What about this old ripped cloth? No, I can't take him that. Just a moment. So she goes next door to the neighbors and begs a little bit of chipped rice. And then takes this offering. So there we have it. The lowly chipped rice. The much maligned brother of Basmati. Everybody just, chipped rice. But Krishna took that chipped rice. And he was so happy. Why? yome bhakta prayachate, because of the devotion. Now, Sudama's not the only one that this chipped rice, the poor chipped rice of the world, is found in. In the Chaitanya Lila, there's this wonderful devotee, also a very poor individual, his name is Suklambar Brahmachari. Now, Suklambar Brahmachari lived in Navadvip, and he was a very, very poor brahmachari. Had a little place he stayed, and, you know, very little, and he'd go around begging all the time. Now, he had nothing material. And many of the residents of Navadvip would look at Suklambar Brahmachari and think, oh, he's just some poor beggar. But he was actually the wealthiest because of his devotion to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He actually offers one prayer to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, make me your eternal servant. And when you pay me for my service, make it in love of God, prem bhakti. Now, we all know that if you have someone in your employ and you don't give them any tangible result, they're not going to be in your employ very long, right? Just, goodwill doesn't go very far as paying the bills and taking care of the necessities like that. But here, Suklambar Brahmachari says, no, don't give me anything, just pay me in prem bhakti. Just give me love of God like this. So, being a Madhukari, he would go everywhere day to day with a little begging bag. Ah, biksha, biksha. Go door to door like this. This is the business of the Madhukaris. Go door to door, take a little something. And what do the householders usually give? Some, all right, here's some rice like that. You've seen if you go around Vrindavan, all the beggars are lined up there. And what do they got in their bowl? A few paisa and a bunch of chipped rice. A bunch of old flaky, you know, like that. So he was carrying back from his Madhukari his little bag with his chipped rice. And he came across Mahaprabhu and some associates sitting on, you know, doing some kirtan. Oh, he was so happy. He began to chant and dance in the Lord's kirtan and just such ecstasy on seeing the Lord and his devotees. And while he was in this mood, Mahaprabhu saw him. And he began to praise Suklambar Brahmachari's qualities and began to praise his character. And then when Suklambar Brahmachari turned his head in embarrassment, the Lord reached up into his begging bag and snatched some of that chipped rice. Some handful. And Suklambar Brahmachari immediately felt so bad. Sudama Vipra, when the Lord took, oh, you brought me a gift? What? That's... Sudama Vipra felt very bad. Suklambar Brahmachari also felt bad. Why? Because all he had was the lowly chipped rice, the much maligned brother of the Basmati. Nobody likes the chipped rice. It's considered, ugh, you know? I mean, I baked for it, I got it, I'll cook it, I'll eat it, okay. But to give it as a gift, it's all broken and it hasn't been washed and it's not clean. And the Lord didn't mind. He was so happy. He actually told Suklambar Brahmachari, no, where is it? Yeah. He said, he says, Suklambar Brahmachari became very concerned. He was thinking, I've committed a great offense. My dear Lord, you've taken this chipped rice from me. This isn't right. And in his mind, he became very disturbed. But the Lord said, no, Suklambar. He said, I eat the devotee's food, my devotee's food, with great enthusiasm. But I have no interest in the finest of foods offered by the non-devotees. So he instructed Suklambar Brahmachari like this. He says, as a matter of fact, Suklambar, I will give you a blessing. What is that blessing? He said, I will always reside in your heart, and whatever you eat, I will eat. This is amazing. The Lord said to him, I'm going to reside in your heart, and your prasad, that will be my food. Reminded me also an old St. Louis story. We had one guest that used to come all the time. He'd been coming around since before I joined the temple. He's one of those eternal Sunday feast guests, you know? They know exactly what time class ends and prasadam begins, you know? So he used to come around during the week also for prasadam. So one time myself and one other devotee, I forget who it was, we were talking about offering prasadam and offering food. And this guest was there and he was eating with me. He said, oh, well, you know, I offer all my food too. And we both like looked at him like shocked, like he had within his very framework even the smallest parcel of devotional mood. And he said, no, I offer all my food too. He said, when I put it in my mouth, it goes past the super soul on the way down. It's offered to him. We just shook our head. It's exactly the kind of line you would have expected from this guy. I don't know whatever happened to him. As a matter of fact, when I went back years later and was the temple president, he was still coming around taking prasadam. But anyway, so the Lord continued. He said, my dear Suklambar, when you go out on your begging rounds, I will be there with you. You are my servant lifetime after lifetime. And because of this, I hereby bestow upon you prema bhakti. So what do we see? The lowly chipped rice has become a source, an avenue, a venue for providing prema bhakti for these two wonderful devotees, Sudama Vipra and Suklambar Brahmachari. So there is something to be said for chipped rice. Now, Mahaprabhu says to Suklambar, he says, lifetime after lifetime, you're my servant. And what was his servant? During Krishna Leela, does anybody know who he was besides Pundarik Vidyanidhi? Anybody know who he was during Krishna Leela? He was one of the wives of the Jagnik Brahmanas that engaged in giving prasadam to Krishna and Balaram. So in Mahaprabhu's Leela, he engaged in sharing his prasadam also with Lord Chaitanya. So this is very interesting. Life after life. So, now the last point. Prabhupada mentions here, he closes off this purport by making significant note. I love it when Prabhupada says this. He'll take a Sanskrit phrase and he says, here the word such and such is very significant. So here, the word mad ashraya is very significant. So we go back up here, mad ashraya, completely under my protection. My with a capital M, meaning the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Completely under the Lord's protection. Suklambar Brahmachari was told, I will reside in your heart. I will go with you whenever you're out begging. You'll be completely under my protection. Vamana Dev, completely protecting Bali Maharaj. Bali's completely under his protection. We must have faith that when we surrender to the Lord, he will protect us. I mean, you know, of course the Bhagavad Gita is there. You know, as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. And, you know, give up all varieties of religions, turn to me, I'll protect you, do not fear. Those verses are all there. But we need realization of that. There's gyan and there's vigyan. There's understanding, okay, yeah, I've read the book, I know it, it's cover to cover. But what is our realization of that? It's difficult sometimes. Not only will the Lord protect us, but he will protect ours, us and ours, if we take his shelter. I can honestly say I've had personal experience in this in my own life, where if you surrender and just depend upon the Lord's mercy, he will step in and take care of you. So I'd like to close this class with two verses from Narottam Das Thakur's Prem Bhakti Chandrika. This is at the conclusion of chapter 1. Let's do it. Saru Shastra Guru Bhakya, Hridaya Kariya Aikya, Satata Vashibo Prema Maje, Karme Gyani Bhaktihina, Ehake Kariva Bina, Naratama E Tatva Gaje. My desire is to have my heart purified by the statements of the Vaishnavas, the scriptures, and the spiritual master. And seeing the unity of these three, I will always float in the ocean of love of God. I will be aloof from the bad association of fruitive workers, mental speculators, and the people devoid of devotional service. I, Narottam Das, sing this song. And here. The most successful method of devotional service is to constantly remember the pastimes of Krishna in the association of devotees. When one attains loving devotional service, then his mind is fully purified and the distresses of his heart will be vanquished. So these are two very nice verses that we can meditate on to help us try and develop this similar mood, following in the footsteps of one of the great Mahajans, Bali Maharaj, of totally surrendering ourselves, depending on the Lord, and thus mad ashraya, coming completely under his protection. So We'll finish there. If anybody has comments or questions, Lakshmi Moni is right at the go. Yes.
Manifest because of one's surrender. But we see that there are many devotees who surrender and receive what appears to be not protected. Mm. Or at least from external point of view, it looks like it wasn't what they had asked for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in your particular instance with your daughter, and with my son, that there appears to be physical reverses or severe reverses, or even death, when we're praying for life or we're praying for something else. And we're looking for that kind of protection, but we get something else. So how do we understand that concept of protection and be grateful for whatever it is that comes, because sometimes protection looks different from Krishna's point of view than it does from ours.
Yes, yes. I can only speak on my limited realizations in that regards. First thing is that, have we actually surrendered? I mentioned in class, is our heart surrendered or have we just taken the words? That will determine our consciousness, because although in these two particular examples, Bali Maharaj, Sudama Vipra and Sukla Bar Brahmachari, there was great reciprocation, sometimes the Lord has a different plan for us. And the challenge is to accept whatever circumstance we're in as the Lord's mercy. And it is a challenge. For many of us, it's a very great challenge that we struggle with on a daily basis, whether it be physical difficulties, mental difficulties, financial difficulties. But as we read in verse 27, that these different types of things, in verse 27 glorified all the beneficial things, all the great opulence and the great this and the, but the other side of the coin is there too, that these other things should not disturb us in our pursuit of devotional service. Sometimes devotees are challenged differently. Not sometimes, all the times we see devotees receive different challenges according to who knows what, the Lord's desire, their particular background, their karma, their circumstances. The real issue is how Krishna conscious are we in spite of those obstacles. That's the only thing I can offer.
One experience I had with one devotee who, maybe you know him, Prabhupada gave him Babaji initiation.
Mm.
And it was the only initiation of that type, I believe, that Prabhupada ever gave. So when he was thinking he was dying, he was doing very well. And then he stopped thinking he was dying because some doctors cured him. And his Krishna consciousness went out.
Right, right out the window, along with his Babaji dress.
Along with his Babaji dress. So, you know, from one point of view, we say, oh, it looks really good that, I mean, now he's healthy. That's great. Mm. But when he was sick, he was actually better off.
And here again, in verse 26 there, it mentions that, you know, all of these great attributes, good wealth, good health, good looks, you know, good education and all, that detached from those. But in the same way, if having those is a detriment to our devotional service, due to our false pride, our ego like that, then we should detach ourselves from them. I mean, this is one of the benefits of a devotee experiencing disparity in this world, is that it allows them, it sometimes motivates them to be more Krishna conscious when they find themselves in a difficult situation. And then when everything's back to hunky-dory, then as was the case, I think we were both there at his initiation in Chicago, and you know, it wasn't very long after that. It was a moot point. So, you know, if we have our good health and our good wealth and our good this, that, and the other, and we have no Krishna consciousness, then what's the benefit of all these things? Baba?
One thing we also see, like in the surrender of Prahlad Maharaj or in the surrender of Bali Maharaj, really the essential ingredient was what they gave up and what the Lord really replaced. The other things really were teaching to be careful of what we desire.
Yeah.
Because Bali Maharaj's desire to have be the king of heaven, he had to go ahead and accept that in the next Manu and also live in Sutal and all this opulence. But really what he had to give up was the social prestige of giving up your guru, just like Prahlad Maharaj had to give up his father. But the Lord replaced both of those things. In the case of Prahlad Maharaj, when he came and paid obeisances, Nrisimhadev picked him up and embraced him just like a father. So he replaced that feeling and gave himself. In the case of Bali Maharaj, he replaced Guru, because in Vaman Purana it says that actually the Lord instructed Garuda to bind him with the ropes of Varuna. So Garuda is considered also like Guru Tattva, because he's a pure servant of Lord Vishnu. So when he bound Bali Maharaj, this was the show that the Lord had genuinely accepted Bali Maharaj as his servant. So that was the real exchange. The other things that happened, like getting the kingdom, becoming Indra, these things were the result of the desires that Bali Maharaj had prior to that. Just like Dhruva Maharaj ended up having to accept, you know, the kingdom, because that's what he wanted prior.
Right.
But he said, Kanchan Vachintan Api Divya Ratnam. Once he saw God, oh, I thought this thing was important, but now I see, oh, this is nothing.
And even the devotee doesn't want those anymore, because by this darshan or by this realization or by this message, oh, okay, I don't need that. No, I'm sorry, you asked that, so here, let me give it to you. Right? You qualified yourself, I'm giving you my mercy, and by the way, you're going to get that desire fulfilled. So, as you say, we have to be careful, because the Lord may be very kind. If the Lord would just fulfill my desires, well, you know, you might want to think twice about that thought, because you may have to come back in another lifetime to get those fulfilled. You know, how long is a day of Manu? That's a long time.
Actually, one other thing is, the only person who Krishna could not reciprocate with that, this verse, Napariyaham Nirvaja Samyajam, that the gopis, because what they gave up, the Lord could not replace.
Mm.
Because he could not become their husband and keep the relationship like it should be.
Right.
Therefore, he could not replace what they had given up. Because once Krishna left for Mathura, they spent 90 days lamenting there. At that time, their husbands acknowledged, oh, they've left home and they've been rejected. So after that time, they go to live with Mother Yashoda in Nandagam to pacify her. And they pacify each other.
Mm.
Like this. So Krishna says, oh, I cannot repay you for what you've given up.
Shelter of the Vaishnavas. Anything else? We'll finish there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.